From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are glad that you've decided to be with us today. In a moment, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. During these weeks, Dr. Cairns has been bringing a series of studies in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37, we read the account of Christ healing a deaf and dumb man. The multitude exclaimed, "He hath done all things well," the subject of this week's message. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, this miracle points us to something much deeper than a man's physical handicap. It is meant to teach us the depths of human depravity, the only remedy of which is the healing touch of the Son of God. We'll hear the continuation of this message in a few minutes, but first Dr. Cairns returns to the emphasis upon Reformation Month with today's hot topic. Today, the focus is upon Martin Luther, the monk who shook the world.
I suppose there's hardly a person in America who doesn't know that today is Halloween. What most people don't know, even millions of Bible-believing Christians, is that October the 31st has an infinitely more important significance than the medieval sorcery connected with the eve of the Roman Catholic Church's invention of All Saints' Day. On this day, 490 years ago, October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther nailed his famous 95 Theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany, and so launched the Protestant Reformation, though at that time, launching a Reformation was not at all in Luther's mind. Martin Luther was the son of a miner. As a young man, he was educated to become a lawyer, for his father reckoned that his brilliant son could make a lot of money in that profession and so support his poverty-stricken parents. Luther was brilliant enough and was making good progress in his studies when he began to suffer deep anxiety about the state of his soul. He felt the awful burden of his sin, and so to expiate his guilt and make himself a true Christian man, he abandoned the study of law and entered a monastery. He enrolled as a monk and gained ordination as a priest. He set about his work with rare zeal, but found that all the praying and fasting and self-flagellation he performed did nothing to allay his sense of guilt. An old monk bade him look to the wounds of Jesus, and the head of his order, who had learned a lot of the evangelical faith but had never the stature to become a reformer, introduced him to the idea of receiving God's pardon freely, without the merit of his own works, simply by faith in Christ. This was difficult for Luther. He struggled to overcome his bitterness against God. He hated the phrase that Paul used, "the righteousness of God," which Luther felt condemned him utterly, for how could a God of righteousness accept so vile a sinner? Then he learned the truth of Romans 1 verse 17, "the just shall live by faith," and began to realize that Paul's beloved phrase, "the righteousness of God," in the book of Romans, referred to the righteousness that God in grace and love has freely provided for believers in Christ. So Luther entered into the joy of a free justification. Luther was appointed professor of theology at the newly created University of Wittenberg and ministered in the local church. His lectures and sermons had a profound influence. When the Pope and the Archbishop of Mainz sent a priest, John Tetzel, to sell indulgences, Luther rose up in righteous anger. Tetzel was betraying the gospel and peddling lies. So the German monk wrote out 95 propositions for debate among the learned, aimed at exposing the true nature of Tetzel's evil trade. Instead, his Latin text was copied, translated into German, and printed. Soon it was known all over Europe. 100 years earlier, Rome had murdered John Huss, a Bohemian priest who had come into the knowledge of evangelical truth through the writings of England's John Wycliffe. Huss was known as the Bohemian Goose, and it said that in a dream, the Elector Frederick, Luther's prince and benefactor, saw a monk write with a goose feather quill that reached all the way to Rome and toppled the Pope's tiara. Luther was that monk, and he certainly did take up Huss's quill and wrote such powerful truth that he did knock over the Pope's tiara. Today, on Reformation Day, we salute the memory of the great German reformer. Because of his courageous stand, we enjoy the heritage of Bible Protestantism. Thank God for Martin Luther, the monk who shook the world.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at LTBS@freepres.org. That's LTBS@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Never does anything subpar or substandard. The Lord never does anything that is unworthy of His name, unworthy of His greatness, grace, and glory. The Lord never does anything that will not be the cause of eternal bursts of praise. Throughout the countless ages of eternity, we will be praising Him. All His works are worthy of Him. That's good for us to know. He does all things well. And if that's true of Christ, the Creator and the Upholder, it is certainly true of Christ, the Redeemer. Back in the councils of eternity, Jesus Christ accepted the place of being the covenant head of a redeemed people, the one who would become a man, to live and die as a man, to fulfill the precept and pay the penalty of the law as a man, to purchase eternal life through the shedding of that man's blood. He took that on Himself. Paul says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, made this way to redeem us who were under the law. And thank God, He has done all things well. When you look at the life of Christ, there's never been a life like it. Do you know the greatest literary geniuses in the world could never write a biography like the life of Christ? You talk to anybody who writes, the most difficult thing in writing is to depict a beautiful character and make it real. You talk to an actor. I remember talking to Dr. Bob Jones Jr. Those of you who knew Bob Jones Jr. know he was an actor of professional ability and superlative powers. But those of you who knew Dr. Bob will know that the parts that he really liked were the parts of the villains. He could play the villain. Man, could he play a villain. But when he had to act the part of a good person, it's very difficult to make that person real, to have a real heartbeat, to make that person more than a cardboard or plastic cutout lookalike of a man. That says a whole lot, of course, about our fallen human nature, but I'm not going to get into that. Just saying, Shakespeare and all the great English writers, put them all together, and they could not concoct the picture of a perfect man. Couldn't do it. And yet here in the Gospels we have four unlettered men, and they don't set out to write a biography. They simply, as eyewitnesses, or in the case of one reporting an eyewitness, sorry, case of two reporting eyewitnesses, they give us the life of the perfect man. Never been a life like Christ's life. He did everything right. He did everything well. And when he came to die, those who had listened to him speak had to say, "Never man speak like this man." Now when he comes to die, in effect, they have to say, "Never man died like this man." Even the heathen Romans standing around the foot of the cross, they said, "Surely this was a righteous man. Surely this was the Son of God. He hath done all things well." What is so well done about his death? Is that that death set out to accomplish certain things and it succeeded? It satisfied the wrath of God. The wrath of God that was my due upon the Lamb was laid. Satisfied God's wrath. It extinguished the fires and the fury of hell for every believer. It put away sin. It reconciled us guilty sinners unto a holy God. It bridged the chasm between heaven and earth, between God and man. It opened the gates of heaven to everyone who believeth. Oh, he has done all things well. They led him in a tomb. But death could not hold its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord, and up from the grave he arose. He hath done all things well. He rose from the dead. The Russian communists fossilized Lenin's body, well, almost, and had it there for people to go in and look and worship their fallen God. What a sight. A bunch of atheists going in to look at their little God lying as a corpse preserved. But what was true of Lenin's true of everyone, atheist or not. Every great religious leader, every founder of religions died and was buried. But Jesus died and rose again. He has done all things well. And he's still doing them well. For he's at God's right hand. And as the scriptures picture it, he bears the names of his people like the high priest upon his shoulders, saying that with all his strength he's holding them up before God. He bears those names over his heart so that with all the love and compassion and sympathy of his being, he is holding them up before God. He is pleading for us. He is interceding for us. He is now appearing for us at the right hand of God. Thank God he's doing it well. And when he comes again, he'll do that well too. When he comes as the lightning out of the east, he'll come in one moment, suddenly, unexpectedly, gloriously, personally, bodily. He will come again. When he raises the dead, he'll do it well. People get perplexed. How is he going to raise the dead? You know, I remember this being discussed when I was a student. One young fellow, well, he wasn't so young, he was older than we were, and he had not the wit not to try this. In a sermon, he was talking about people who had died, had been body cast into the sea. The fish had come and fed in the bodies. Other fish had fed in those fish. People had then eaten those fish. And you know, the body how is he going to put it all together? Man, dear, this is one time for you to remember Dr. Paisley's great statement. Just you mind your own business and let the Lord mind his. You know, when you get down to it, how did he create it in the first place? I want to tell you, it's no difficulty for God. You see, there's nothing difficult for the Lord. That's the thing. He's all wise, all knowing, all powerful. When he comes to raise his people and transform them into the image of his own glorified person, to reign on this earth, he'll do it well. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as the Bible tells me I ought to do. And I pray for the coming of the Prince of Peace, who does all things well. But this text, you know, you'll be glad to hear that that's nothing to do with the text. I'm just telling you, this is a statement that's true in every possible set of circumstances. He does everything well. But the text is certainly concentrating on his work as seen in this healing. The Lord confronted this man's entire need with his complete grace and power. And men and women, if you can get that today, you will be greatly blessed and helped. You come with your entire need, and he will meet it with his complete grace and power. Specifically, he made the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Now that's a wonderful miracle, but if that's all you see here, you're missing the point. We're meant to see a whole lot more than that. J.C. Riley, first Protestant Bishop of Liverpool, said this. He said, "We see but half the instruction of this passage if we only regard it as an example of our Lord's divine power. It is such an example, beyond doubt, but it's something more than that." And Ryan said this, "We must look further, deeper, and lower than the surface. And we find in this precious passage spiritual truths. Here we are meant to see our Lord's power to heal the spiritually deaf and the spiritually dumb." In other words, this physical healing was a great miracle, but there's a greater healing and a greater miracle intended. You see, deaf ears, just think of this, ears that cannot hear. And I have to be careful when I do that. I remember sitting in a homiletics class here, and I was just sitting down there about two or three rows up from the back, and there's a young fellow up here preaching, and he was quoting the text, "I hath not seen nor ear heard," and he said, "I hath not seen nor ear heard." My dear, he was up late last night, so I really have to be careful when I say this. Deaf ears and a disabled tongue express the depths and the extent of human depravity. Because of sin, men are spiritually deaf. They cannot hear the truth of God because they will not hear the truth of God. They're spiritually deaf. And they are spiritually dumb. Like this man. What they say is said with difficulty. Its sound is corrupted and perverted, so that the tongue is incapable of the use for which it was created, namely the glorifying of the Lord Himself. This is a picture of a sinner.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.